Now, if we would please turn to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, that is, the bread, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Here is a tangible way to express to one another, Jesus Christ is everything to me. That's what we're saying. Bread represents food. The body needs to live. And we say that bread represents Christ. Our soul needs to live. We could not survive if it weren't for Christ. Christ is our life. This is what we testify. Food to the body, Christ for the soul. Is that your testimony? Jesus wanted us, whenever we gather together and we observe the Lord's table, to show everybody here, that's what he is for me, that's what he is for me, that's what he is for me. Christ is all and in all. I'd like to ask you to go to one scripture, Isaiah 61. I'm going to give a fairly short message here. It will be the message for the morning. But it talks about the way that Christ is our all and all. I'm going to share with you thoughts on the ways that Christ loves us. There were the people in the time of Malachi who say, "Wherein have you loved us?" And there may be some who would say concerning Christ, "How has he shown love toward me?" In Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, a very familiar text, this is the text that Jesus quoted and when he stood up in his own synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, and he read this text, and then he said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in me. I'm the man talk of here." So it's his mission statement. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Isaiah 61, 1. Four observations. Here's the first. All heaven is behind this mission of love. All heaven is behind this mission of love. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me." Picture a coach's hand on the shoulder of somebody he's sending in with a play. No, picture a commander with his hand on a special ops soldier who's about to jump off the plane and parachute down to earth. Here we have the Holy Spirit of God and the Lord God, the Father, with their hand upon the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. The hand is upon them. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings," and on the list goes. We see here that the commitment to this mission is firm and continuous, with no pause or reconsideration. But it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." That is, continuously, without break. I have an interesting question for you. It's in John chapter 1, starting in verse 32. How did John the Baptist know that when Jesus was being baptized, that that was the Savior? There might be part of the answer that you had not seen before. I had not seen it before. John 1 and verse 32. John bare record saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." Notice the second part there. "It abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So it wasn't just the Spirit descending as a dove, but that it abode, that it remained on him. So the mission here is one that the Lord God is upon him. All heaven is backing up. All the power of heaven is backing up this mission and staying with it continuously, without a break. God abides faithful. Having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them to the end. So this mission is backed up by all the power of heaven. He says, the Lord hath anointed me. To anoint means to choose and to set apart to a work. It means to commission and to empower. Hence Jesus' name, Christ. If you were to look him up in the phone book, it wouldn't say Christ, Jesus, first name, last name. But rather his name is Jesus, and Christ is his mission. Christ means anointed, the Greek word for anointed. Just like Messiah is the Hebrew word for anointed. He's the anointed one. He's the one sent from heaven with a mission. Anoint. If you would turn to Psalm 133 and verse 2, you would see there that pouring oil on somebody, on the head, and it flows down on the garments and all the way down to the feet, represents the Holy Spirit empowering a person for a particular work. Here is the description of the high priest of Israel being anointed. Psalm 133 and verse 2. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. See, God gives not his Spirit by measure. But here's Jesus described typically in the high priest, the anointed one, where the Holy Spirit of God comes upon him and abides upon him the whole time. And the whole point I'm making here is that heaven is behind this act of love. They're behind it all the way. Never pauses, never lessens. God the Father, God the Spirit, sending God the Son. Spirit of God is upon him. And what is he to do? He is to preach good tidings unto the meek. We're back on Isaiah 61. We notice that the first blessing that he brings is a spoken blessing. The first blessing are the words that he provides. He preaches good tidings unto the meek. See the power of Jesus' words. See, as a prophet, he comes to preach. As a priest, he comes to heal. And as a king, he comes to proclaim. All three of his offices are described here in Isaiah 61:1. Prophet, priest, and king. But first as prophet, he preaches good tidings unto the meek. Now we notice the type of people who are affected, and that is the meek. The meek. People who know that they are sinners. Not people who take a bite of bread and wipe their mouth and say, I've done no wrong. But people who know they have offended a holy God and are humbled and have a modest opinion of themselves and ascribe all good that they have to the grace of God. And they patiently bear affliction and receive injury without reacting because they are poor in spirit. That's how some people translate that word there. We translate meek. The Lord hath sent me to preach good tidings unto the meek or the poor, those who have taken a beating in life and responded favorably to God. To them he brings good tidings. Good tidings, meaning the evangel, the gospel, a good word fitly spoken. Here's somebody who's meek, who's faced the vicissitudes of life, who has been beaten, who has done wrong and knows it, gives God the glory for anything good that happens. Jesus comes with a good word for them. A good word, fitly spoken, like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Proverbs 15:23 says, a word spoken in good season. How good is it? Fanny Crosby wrote a hymn saying, stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. Do you know what it's like to be broken? And have somebody come with the right word balm to your soul? Can you picture yourself as that poor woman caught in adultery in the very act, humiliated by others, Christ coming up to her and saying, I do not condemn you. Oh, the words that are born. He says, here's my mission. All heaven's behind me, and I am coming with a mission to bless people. And the first blessing is words that are refreshing to those who are meek. Maybe it's the word forgiven, or clean, or hope, or new life. All heaven is behind this act of love. As a prophet, Christ loves by preaching good tidings. As priest, Christ loves by healing. We continue to read Isaiah 61:1. This is the mission. He comes preaching. He comes binding up the brokenhearted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus' mission of love is to bind up and heal hearts that are broken. A painful thing to see something broken. I saw on the internet this week, maybe some of you saw this gymnast, the Olympics, some young man who landed in a way that his leg snapped. Oh, that was ugly. I saw that one time with an arm at a wrestling match where the arm was broken and it was like at right angles. It's ugly. It's ugly to see a bone broken that way. But what of a heart broken? Jesus came to bind up broken hearts. People can have broken hearts because of their sins, their failures in life, and the consequences to others because of our sins and failures, or loss of relatives, loss of friends. And we find ourselves weeping because of the direction and the things that have happened in our lives. Jesus says, I have a mission to come and bind up your heart to bring about healing. Who do you see this brokenhearted in the Scriptures? I think of Hannah. Hannah had the unenviable position of being a co-wife. Penina was also married to the same man. Penina could have children, one after another, after another, after another. Hannah was barren for 20 years. She goes to the temple and in bitterness of soul, wept sore at the temple. It's a broken heart. Or I think of Jacob. Jacob, when he was told that his son Joseph was dead, and he was given the clothing of Joseph with blood on it, the Bible says Jacob tore his clothes and refused to be comforted and said he would go down to his grave in mourning for the loss of his son. Or I think of Peter. There's Jesus suffering on the cross. Peter thinks back. He's denied his Lord 3 times. He went out and wept bitterly. One more example, Gospel of John chapter 20 and verse 15. There is Mary, devoted to Christ, one of his disciples, and she's weeping at the grave of Jesus. John chapter 20 and verse 15. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She's supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. It's a painful thing to lose someone you love, but then the body's gone. But Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Oh, how he can heal a broken heart. For Hannah, for Jacob, for Peter, for Mary. Can you hear their cries? I guarantee you, the Lord can. Psalm 56:8. says, put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? This is a practice back then. They had a tear bottle. A person cried. You'd hold the bottle up to where the tears would fall in, and then the moisture would evaporate, and you'd have a little salt, and you'd eventually fill up the bottle, a bottle full of tears. And here's a cry for the Lord. Put my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Heal me, Lord. Heal me. How? Thou knowest. I am brokenhearted. Love me. Jesus says, that's why I come. My mission is to heal the brokenhearted. The mother who has lost three children in three separate instances. The father whose children are straying from God. The husband who's counseled by his wife to curse God and die. The child who is forsaken by his mother and father. The felon sentenced to life in prison without hope of parole. The teenager who silently cannot bear to continue on with things as they are. The elderly person who grieves over what could have been. I tell you, all heaven is behind this act of love. The hand of God is upon Jesus, abiding there to go. All the resources of heaven are commissioning you to this. You are set aside for this work, Jesus. As prophet, preach good tidings to the meek. As priest, love by healing the brokenhearted. Is your heart broken? You say, there's no fix for this. I'll bear this to the grave. That's what Jacob said. But God knows how to heal the brokenhearted. There is no broken heart but that God can mend it, whatever is the pain that we feel. And finally, as king, Christ loves by proclaiming release from prison. The scriptures say in Isaiah 61:1, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. I've shared with you years ago about what I've read about the training of elephants, that you would put an electric fence around an elephant to keep it contained, and it had quite a jolt to it that it could sting the elephant. And he learned to respect that border, and after that, you could turn off the electricity. And he would just stay away from the fence. He didn't know, but the fence didn't have any power anymore. So he stayed contained when he could have just passed on through. Christ comes to proclaim there is a way to break free. Release from prison. Liberty to the captives. The Hebrew there is very strong. And it means the most complete opening of the prison. So it might mean not only the bars swung wide, but the eyes open wide too, so you see the complete deliverance. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, slave of sin. Are you a slave to sin? Can't stop thinking those thoughts. Can't stop doing those deeds. Can't break this habit. Can't forgive here. Can't overcome there. Burdened in darkness and loss and confusion and frustration. Does any of that fit for you? Jesus says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I think of what's described in Acts 5:23, where it says, the prison truly found we shut with all safety and the keeper standing within out the door. But when it opened, we found no man within. Doors been swung wide open, friends. Jesus, totally as a mission of love, has come to speak glad tidings, to bind your broken heart, and to set you as a captive free. Free from the oppression of the devil. Free from dominion of sin. Free from the plague of wrong thinking and ignorance. Free like that demoniac of the Gadarenes. Couldn't keep clothes on him, tearing his body. He could break any chains you put on him, screaming and hollering there in the graveyard. But once Christ set him free, he was found in his right mind and clothed, desiring to follow Christ. Well, it's time for us to move on. I just wanted to share that the picture we have in Isaiah 61:1 is that all heaven is eternally and utterly behind this mission of love, whereby Jesus is commissioned to preach good news to the meek, bind up the brokenhearted, and set the captive free. Do you know what that is? There can be those in our midst, or this is just still fairy tale religious talk. But the truth is, we've all sinned. Somehow we got to deal with sin. You say, well, I'll just take it to the grave and face God with it. I'm the one who committed it. Well, that's one route you can take. But it's not the route God has supplied. Because he's already taken your sin and your sin and your sin and my sin and heaped it all on a substitute and judged it there. He bore our sins, Jesus did, so that we wouldn't have to bear them. And so whatever the length and the history of crimes against heaven, those which we know and those of which we're yet ignorant of what we've done, said wrong, or didn't do that was right. Whatever it is, it all was laid upon Christ. And by his stripes we are healed. And so what he requires of you and me is simply to receive the gift. Glad tidings. Mended hearts. Deliverance from prison. Will you accept it? Don't have to get baptized to get this. Don't have to go to church all the time to get this. Don't have to stop cursing first before you get this. You simply need to believe on Christ that he died for your sin. For as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you believe? Would you receive him now? Today's the day. Now is the appointed time. Don't hesitate, but turn to him now. May we pray. Our Father, we understand that Christ was anointed, commissioned under the work of love. We pray that all within the sound of this voice would know that love personally. To have all the guilt and stain and consequences eternal of sin removed. So move within the heart as is in keeping with thy providence. Enable a person to see the gates are open. The chains are fallen off. I can arise and go. New life. Lord, if there is a man or a woman or a boy or a girl here who would like today to receive Christ, open their heart to it. Enable them now to say very simply, I have sinned. I understand Christ died for my sin. I receive him as my Savior. Guide us all, Father, to deepen in our gratitude for what you have done, are doing, will do. In Christ's name, amen.